Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by RunCatalina.com, the Catalina Eco Marathon, Half Marathon 10K. Coming up Saturday, November 18th, Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. VeloFix, the coolest mobile bike shop around. That's VeloFix.com. ATVSwimSpas.com, the official training vessel for six-time Ironman World Champion Dave Scott. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation. You can go to DonateCAF.com. We just sent out 2,448 grants totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out all of our interviews on Babbittville.com and on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. We're speaking a little technology, and one of our experts in technology, he is the Senior Vice President for Sales and Marketing at Polar, Mr. Stan Brazier. Stan, how the heck you doing?
Dude, always a pleasure, buddy.
It's always a pleasure, and for somebody who has watched this whole world of wearables and heart monitors from the very beginning, talk a little bit about the changes in the industry that you've seen over the years.
Well, obviously, there's more and more technology and more metrics, more and more players in the space, so we keep getting inundated with all this technology, and I always joke around with, you know, we have enough metrics to make your head explode. Well, what do we do with these metrics? And I think the early adopters, you know, that gave us the credibility, you know, that we went through that learning curve, and now it's really approaching more of the masses. They're willing to understand more technology. In addition to that, you know, the millennials, they've always gotten the technology, and they're participating more and more in endurance sports, you know, at all levels. And the endurance world, like I don't have to tell you, it's changed dramatically, especially over the last 5 years, you know, with the emergence of CrossFit and Spartan Race and mud runs and color runs and you name it. So, you know, it just continue to evolve and grow, you know, along with technology.
So as Polar has been really, when you talk about the early heart monitors, the big square heart monitors that people were wearing over in Kona was Polar. They were always the leader. And obviously there's been a lot more companies that have come into the marketplace. And so how, at this point, is Polar holding people off and also changing so that they're current?
Well, I think, you know, it's when you have an explosion in any category, you have a lot of people enter the space that really are just taking advantage of the momentum and not really in it for the long term. And, you know, we're in it for over 40 years, and we repositioned the brand since I've been here. Ironically enough, next week will be my one-year anniversary here. That's how crazy is that. And then as a sports performance brand grounded in running, triathlon, cycling, and traditional fitness. So, and if you see the athletes that we work with, you know, it's recently came back from the USATF championships in Sacramento,
right,
where we had Molly Huddle and Kate Grace qualify for the world championships. You know, we're working with athletes at the highest level to really regain our credibility and authenticity, so that it transcends to the masses and they can really understand that we are the real deal. We are the real, you know, and this is what we do. We don't do footwear and apparel. We do wearables. We do heart rate monitors, GPS sensors, cycling computers, you know, multi-sport devices. This is our core business, and this is what we're the experts in. And now that the dust is settling and you're seeing who the people that are really going to remain in the category long term, we are going to evolve from the pack and continue to grow and thrive, you know, as the dust settles.
Well, what's been fascinating the last number of years with Strava coming into play and thousands and millions of people realizing that they want to compete online, they want to be, you know, king of the mountain. How important has that been, just in terms of the awareness that, well, hey, the numbers are important? If you really want to get good, you can just go ride every day, you can go run every day, but if you don't have real numbers,
right,
and real power, you really aren't going to improve.
Well, ironically enough, and you look at, we did a promotion with the Peachtree Road Race,
yes,
down in Atlanta last week, this challenge, this treadmill challenge Charity Chase Challenge, where they were raising money to resurface the Atlanta Olympic practice track.
Uh-huh.
So the people in Atlantic. So Rich Kinnard, the CEO of Atlanta Track Club, called me a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "You know, Stan, I have this like crazy idea, and they want to run the treadmills 40. It's the 48th anniversary of the race, side by side. But we want to put up a video monitor so that the viewers at the expo can see all these metrics and have a competition." So we got together with our partners at Athleos, with technology company, and Woodway, the treadmill company, and put together this promotion. And they had a lot of elite celebrity runners, Shalane Flanagan, Jordan Hesse, Rich himself being a former medalist at the World Championships, the mayor of Atlanta, and they had this side by side relay. But if we didn't have the ability to track their heart rate, their speed and distance, and then translate it to this video monitor to make it a visual experience, not only on site, but then as from a social media perspective, we wouldn't be able to pull off something like this. So it's a whole new world when it comes to that, visualizing it. And then to your point, with the Stravas of the world and the Map My Fitness and Runkeepers, it's a social event, not only at the physical event, but virtually.
So with you mentioned Color Run and Spartan Race and Tough Mudder and those type of events, and the endurance entertainment marketplace obviously is way bigger than it's ever been. At the same time, you've got people going into those type of events. Are those folks, the people who are doing the mud runs and obstacle runs, are they getting into the technology as well?
Now they really start to adopt it more, because initially those were the first timers that really probably didn't have a background. Maybe they were an athlete in another sport, but they really weren't endurance based. And now I think they caught the bug, and they're going to be in it for a longer term. They can see the benefits of that, and now they want to monitor and gauge their metrics too, so that they can improve in their training, because they're more tech savvy than the old traditional old school runners,
right,
like you and myself. All right, but even the old school people have adopted technology to a certain degree. But this new crowd, this new millennial and younger crowd that's getting into all these additional endurance events, they already get technology, so now they see the benefits. So I think the acceleration is going to be a lot quicker for the adoption rate than the old school endurance athletes.
So when we talk sales and marketing, that world has changed significantly as well. It used to be, hey, I take an ad out in this magazine, I'm pretty much taken care of. In this day and age, it's a lot. There's a lot more tentacles, right? You need to do a lot more to reach those same type of folks. How have you changed as a marketer?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I would never think that, the first thing I do every morning is I go on all of our athletes' Instagram accounts and Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts to see, how they're promoting the brand. And we're doing it organically. We don't want it to be forced, because with that social media and that virtual marketing, it can't be contrived, and it's not planned out like a print ad. You got to plan out, you have certain deadlines, you have to do the photo shoot, everything has to be planned out well in advance. With social media and the virtual marketing, everything is instantaneous, and it's a lot more organic and real and in real time. So that, I mean, that's great, because we can do Facebook Live actually from the events. I did an interview with Kate Grace after she qualified for the World Championship team, just on my cell phone camera. And we promoted it on Facebook Live. So that's how it's a whole new. It's a lot quicker, and it's a lot more organic and I think realistic.
So what's interesting is you have to be so much more nimble. So as you're looking through social posts from your athletes, when you see something really cool, it's not like, okay, hey, let's have a strategy session, let's do a focus group and think what we'll do. You're basically going, that is really cool. This can move the needle. This is something authentic, and we want to share that.
Oh, perfectly. I mean, look at Molly Huddle. Molly Huddle is like one of the best, besides being, one of the USA's best distance runners. From a social media perspective, she's known for her different nail coloring. So we have our new M430 red watch, and she posted a shot with her nail color matching the watch. So we have fun with it as well, and it's to your point, it's really immediate, and we just capitalize on the spur of the moment type of marketing.
So with the latest products that are out there, talk a little bit about what's in the Polar product line right now and what you're looking at for 18.
Yeah, no, we actually we did two really successful launches over the last couple of months. The M430 wrist-based running watch that has GPS and wrist-based heart rate, and then all of your sleep metrics, activity monitor, you name it, and you know, connect to all of your online training. You know, we have our own Polar Flow training website and the whole ecosystem, and then you know it's also compatible with the Stravas and the Maps and the Runkeepers of the world. So that was really successful. We actually launched it to consumers. We announced it in Boston, but we launched it to consumers at San Diego Rock and Roll, and that is really our re-entrance back into the run specialty world, where Polar, prior to me joining the company, really lost some of the focus at the run specialty level. So this was the first product that really put us back on the map, you know, a really core, hardcore running-specific device. And then recently we launched an A370, which is an activity monitor, but it's really an activity monitor for 2017. It's not like a traditional just step counter. It has a color touchscreen, text messaging, wrist-based heart rate, you know, a little smaller form factor, so you know it fits more comfortably like an activity monitor. And both have a more ergonomic band, both the M430 and the A370, so it fits a lot more comfortably, but it still can, you know, get really accurate wrist-based heart rate. No, and then moving forward, we're really excited that 2018, we're anxiously awaiting our follow-up to the V800, which is our multi-sport, our triathlete product.
Yeah,
you know the market's been starving for replacement of a follow-up generation, so we're anticipating sometime in early spring 2018 launching that and doing a nice. Launch with our two top triathletes, female triathletes, obviously, that are ready to give birth, both Gwen Jorgensen and Marinda Carfrae, in August. So hopefully they'll be regaining form, and we're going to promote getting back into training for world-class form, you know, using our technology and our products. In addition to that, you know, we have Tim Don, who just broke the world record.
Yes,
you know,
he
using
did.
Our products. So we have a really formidable stable of triathletes that we're going to really help us launch this new multi-sport product next year.
So, Stan, what has surprised you in terms of you'll take a look at your new product and you'll go, well, why is that on there? Who's going to want that? Has there been something that sort of surprised you that the consumer really loved that you didn't foresee? Or on the other side of that, something that, God, people are going to love this, and it was like sort of, nah, we don't really care?
Well, I you know, ironically enough, this A370, because we thought that the activity monitor category in specific was so saturated with the competitors out there, and the novelty has worn off. So, but you know, our engineers did a great job of bringing in new advanced features. So it's not just reskinning and recoloring an older product. It's the next generation that has these sleep metrics, which are really important. Sleep and rest is becoming really adopted, not only at the elite level, but I think I know myself, because I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and drive from New Jersey to Long Island, and you know how that can wear you out.
Yeah.
So the rest perspective and the sleep, monitoring your sleep and your rest so you can get out and train the next day, is even more important as you age, and especially with your schedule. Everybody has these crazy, hectic schedules with work. You know, we joke around how work messes up your training all the time. But when you have to commute in a metro area, it's even more important that you really monitor that rest aspect. So that's critical. And I was under the impression that, you know, everybody was going to adopt the technology, but I thought it was going to take a little longer. But I think people are really interested in it now and understanding how it can benefit their lifestyle, from, you know, the elite athletes all the way down to the everyman and the weekend warrior.
As a guy who's been a runner forever, what are you using that making use of that you maybe didn't make use of in your earlier days? Or
well,
something
know,
that's been helpful for
old
you.
Old school, I write everything down, still in my log, in my Gym Fix running log, believe it or not.
I love that.
Right? So, but I also get online on our Polar Flow account, and it's great because every metric known to man. And I look, you know, I travel a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
So I can see my routes, you know, all over the U.S. where I run. And I love looking at the Google Maps and replicating, because, you know, you always have that visual in your mind, you know, those most memorable runs that you had, you know, in the different cities. And you always have those deja vu attacks. But then now I can relive it because I can look at it on Google Maps. I can see my elevation, my heart rate, every metric known to man, but actually see that physical map, like when I was in Sacramento running, you know, during the USA track championships, you know, and when I traveled to Atlanta and I ran through Piedmont Park. So that's something that I really get a kick out of, you know, being an old school type runner.
The other aspect is, because of social media, people back in the day, you come up with your marketing plan, and people, maybe they'd send you a letter every once in a while, but it was really difficult for people to get through to somebody, you know, in a position like you were in. Today, in this day and age, people can reach out and find you right away. Well, what type of feedback have you gotten from people who, you know, one, these are people who are just fans of the product and they've reached out on their own. But what have you gotten from folks in terms of what they are loving about the product, not liking about the product, and how important is that to get that type of feedback?
Oh, it's amazing, because even as recently as, you know, I wasn't in attendance at Peachtree, but Wayne was down there working our booth, and athletes like Jordan Hesse, who would know, a big Nike athlete, you know, top American U.S. Emerging marathoner right now, is a big Polar fan, and, you know, she's been using the product, so we're going to be working on, you know, on an unofficial basis with her, helping her with her training.
Yeah.
She's getting into heart rate now making sure she has the latest, most advanced products. So that's something that you really can't anticipate. But, you know, that's true grassroots guerrilla marketing. That, you know, that we're being a smaller, nimble, more nimble company, and I'm a firm believer in, that's the only way to really build your brand long term and have a long term strategy. You know, you have to have those athletes that are already the end user, that were not, perfect example, these are not paid sponsored athletes that are already using the product at an elite level that we can continue to work with, as well as, you know, the everyman athlete.
So you're working with athletes from the track to the Ironman, basically everything from, you know, something that's taking a minute or 2 minutes to something that's taking 17 hours.
Right.
How do you develop a product that is appropriate for both?
Well, that's always the challenge from an engineering perspective. But now we've gotten to the point where the chipsets and the batteries are so small, and you can get such a long life. You can get 30 hours plus with GPS and heart rate running continually, which, you know, 3 to 5 years ago, from an engineering perspective, was not possible. But the technology continues to evolve and develop that, you know, we can get it smaller. It can have more battery life. It can have more features and functions. And that's just the nature of the category and how it's going to continue to evolve and grow.
So is your job easier or harder now than it was back in the day, where you could sort of plan 6 months ahead of time, 9 months ahead of time? Now you have to be incredibly nimble. Every second of the day could basically change the brand.
Yeah, no, technology is moving at warp speed. It continues to accelerate faster and faster, and it's more and more competitive. And also, too, just from a sales and marketing perspective, all these channels weren't carrying the product. So consumer electronics, mass market, national sporting goods, run specialty, independent bike dealers, you know, e-commerce wasn't as much of a factor, and e-commerce continues to grow and dominate the market. So there are just so many layers and so many channels. And then from a consumer's perspective, so much information is thrown at you on a daily, never mind on a minute-by-minute basis, that you really have to be on top of things. But at the end of the day, like I tell my team every day, you have to really focus. You have a plan, you focus, and you execute. And you focus on what you do best. And if you don't do that and you get too distracted, you won't be successful. So that's what I'm really have tried in the past year, and I'm going to continue to do going forward, is have us focus on what we're all about, you know, sports performance brand grounded in those endurance sports.
So when you mentioned Run Specialty, and obviously Run Specialty has been challenged with Amazon and a lot of the other online retailers, how has Run Specialty seems like it's continuing to do well? And that's obviously an important facet of what you're looking to do. Why is that? Why is Run Specialty still important?
Well, it's it's the core people that are left that, you know, that really get it, that they have to reinvent themselves. Okay, so the days of, you know, the significant growth, and I've talked to a lot of industry, you know, people that I've known for decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was easy because it was a new emerging area. People were opening up running shops all over the country, and running footwear and apparel were just exploding. And then we introduced technology and nutrition and accessories, and it just was on a significant growth pattern. But like any category, at some point you're going to mature when a lot of other, you know, channels get into it, and you have to reinvent yourself. So you have to go back. I look at it going back to like square one, like when I had my running shop in the 80s. You know, I was the track coach. I was the race director of the local 5K. I did the clinics. I was a top road racer in the area. I was an old track guy from the high school days. So I went out and did a lot of those things that a lot of my competitors wouldn't do. I worked with a chiropractor and a podiatrist with cross referrals. So the guys that are sharp, the big peaches of the world and the snail's pace, and these guys, they have their local running groups, their training programs. They have a website where they can coach virtually or communicate, you know, via e-commerce with their consumer base, their database. So you really have to do some of the old school things, like, you know, the race directors, doing your weekly fun runs, working the expos, you know, doing the training, and then having that online presence. So if you have that combination, and it still goes back to a local community, even though it's virtual, you're still the local community guy, and then you'll get the support of the local community.
Well, the reality is you can go online and buy product, but if you really want to have a social group, a couch to 5K type of program, that's where the local connection comes in. And to be honest, I think most of our folks are pretty loyal, where they go, hey, I can buy this product online, but I'm going to buy it from you because you're providing me much more than just product.
Right. And it's the service aspect. It's something that physically you can't do online. You can't get that one-to-one service, you know, as much as you would like to try. There's nothing like being in the run shop, getting that face-to-face, you know, and feedback. There's, you know, you're never going to be able to substitute that online virtually.
Well, being an old school guy, back in the day, it was, you know, 80-90% guys doing this. You guys have Molly Huddle. You've got Gwen Jorgensen. You've got, you know, three-time Ironman World Champion Marinda Carfrae. Obviously, you're not involved with athletes unless you feel they resonate and they're going to move the needle. How has that whole world changed in terms of women in endurance and how they move the needle for companies like Polar?
Oh, you know, and that's really a good question. I mean, you know, you look at it from a participation's perspective. It used to be male-dominated, and now I think the needle has shifted more to a higher percentage of females not only participating but continuing to enter the sport and the activity. And that's why if you look at, you know, the athletes that you mentioned, plus the Kate Graces of the world, how they balance their professional life and their personal life, you know, and I think the soccer mom can relate to that because they have their own challenges, but they still want to be active and go out and train for an event or just have an active lifestyle. So they can see that, you know, at the elite level, they could do it. And a perfect example is look at Gwen and Rennie, both ready to deliver their first children,
yes,
and how much they're training right up until, you know, the delivery date. And then it's going to be interesting to see how they return to world-class form using these devices and this technology, you know, moving forward. So we're excited about the future there, especially the partnership. You know, it's ironic that I signed the two top female triathletes in the world, and they both are delivering within a week or two of each other.
and speaking of triathlon, obviously Gwen is the Olympic gold medalist, and Marinda is the, you know, three-time Ironman world champion. In terms of the sport of triathlon, it's smaller numbers, but you also have an incredibly committed database of people.
Yep. No doubt about it. I mean, they're the early adopters. They're really tech savvy, even though, like I said, it's smaller in numbers.
Yes.
They really heavily influence the mass market because they give you instant credibility and they understand and adopt technology. So that makes our marketing perspective, and when we're trying to promote a new feature or function, a little easier in communicating that to the masses because they give us that instant credibility and they adopt it, you know, right away because they're always looking for that edge, you know, because when you get to that elite level, every minute counts, you know, in your training. So every little attention to detail. I think about him all my years of working with Meb. The thing that always amazed me and why he was successful for so long, his attention to detail is like no athlete that I've ever worked with. And I think more and more the athletes that are lasting longer are paying attention to all those little details.
Well, and as somebody who's gone through it, you know, back in the day, it was all about long mileage, long, every single day.
Right.
Have you changed your training over time because you can be more efficient with your time and realizing that orthopedic reality is down the line, every runner, because of knees and hips, needs to become a cyclist?
Right. Yeah. No. It's quality versus quantity, and I've been preaching that for a long time. But now I'm following my own advice because I don't have a lot of time and energy like I used to because obviously I'm more mature.
Yes,
I've been doing
are.
It a long time, but I still enjoy getting out there and doing intervals and doing intensity. Obviously, the intensity is different now. You know, I'm really happy if I can get out for 30 or 45 minutes and do a run anymore with my schedule. You know, between the commuting and the traveling and all the meetings. So I really have to pay attention to all those little details. That's where our technology comes in because it's no guesswork. That's the real metric. That's my real pace, my real heart rate, my real elevation, all my sleep pattern. That technology doesn't lie. That's all real technology, and it's really very helpful.
Hey, Stan, congratulations. Can you believe how much you've accomplished in 1 year there at Polar?
It's pretty wild, you know, but you know what? It gets back to like the relationship that I have with people like you and all the people in the industry. Everybody knows me well enough that, you know, there's no hidden agenda. We roll up our sleeves, we get done what we have to get done. And it's decades of working in the industry and not sacrificing your integrity and your reputation, because at the end of the day, that's all you have to hang your hat on. And people know that, you know, they know it's not all about profitability. You know, we have to be profitable in a business, but if that's your only goal, you're not going to be successful long term. I learned that a long time ago. You know, our goal is really to enhance everybody's lifestyle. Whatever your fitness goal is, from the elite level, Olympic level, all the way down to the couch to 5K person, we want to develop the technology and the products to help you achieve your goal.
Well, all of us have shared the same vision. We're growing an industry. We're trying to, one person at a time, we want new people to come in and realize once they put that race number on, once they get that first run in or bike ride, that they're with us forever. This isn't a short-term fix. It's get into our world. You're going to love it. You're going to meet great people, and you're going to change yourself for the better.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I look at, you know, this first year, I'm just really excited about the future, what we can do, you know, moving the needle forward, especially with this stable of athletes and the support of people like yourself and all my other partners out there. It's a really exciting time.
Love it. Stan Brazier has been our guest. Hey, Stan, so if people want, best site to get information on all the new product.
Yeah, polar.com, P-O-L-A-R.com. You can check everything out.
Love it. Stan Brazier, Senior Vice President, Sales and Marketing over at Polar. Again, we are brought to you by RunCatalina.com, by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, ATVSwimSpas.com, official training vessel for six-time Ironman World Champion Dave Scott, our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We have now raised over $90 million and sent out over 15,000 grants to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com and on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.